Margot, where we will answer some of your questions that have kept you feeling stuck. Each episode, by way of introducing myself, I cover one thing that I do. I'm nearly running out. I am Margot de Coatsworth, a writer, a clinical hypnotherapist, and I coach people through understanding the power of the words they use and how the story they tell to and about themselves can change everything for them. One of my favourite writers of all time is Florence Scovel Shinn. She lived in the 1800s and has written a number of really enlightened books, including one called Your Word is Your Wand, which kind of says it all. There is a magical power in words. Abracadabra, for example, we consider that to be a kind of fanciful word, but the meaning of it is, by my words I create. Imagine that. If we really understood that we could change things by changing the way we talk about them, wow, couldn't we turn the world on its head? Just think, we could change grumpy neighbours, badly behaved workmates, angry people. We could even start with ourselves. It's a novel thought. And change us from the inside out. The story we tell to ourselves and about ourselves is powerful. Think about how you refer to yourself. We don't always say kind things to ourselves. My daughter sometimes catches me if I've missed something or made a mistake, and I say, oh, how stupid, or dumbo. She'll say, don't say that about yourself. And she's right. The way we speak to ourselves is how we see ourselves. It's worth observing what your internal chat is. What a clever boy or girl would be a much better, kinder thing to say to yourself in a situation where you would otherwise not have done or said something so positive. So, to our first question of the day. There's been a lot of chat in my world recently, a lot of questions around healing. So let's talk about healing. Well, that means I'll do the talking and you'll do the listening. Healing is what our bodies do on behalf of us, and they're really good at it. We give them a little help from time to time, and we get in the way quite often, eating poorly, not being mobile enough, and most especially, not understanding that our thoughts influence our health. But once we open ourselves up to the possibility that we have some say and power in this matter, things can radically change for us. When we can stretch our expectation of healing ourselves from just little cuts and bruises to bigger, more pervasive, more debilitating ailments, anything is possible. So if we deal with an illness or physical health problem, how does healing show up? That's today's question. There are three ways. One is immediately, like magic, the pick up your bed and walk kind of healing. We love that and we call it a miracle. That in itself suggests it's a rarity, which is truly sad, and really it would be great if we could change that. I met a stranger in a restaurant recently, and she and her husband were just leaving and started a little light conversation, and they asked why my group and I were in that particular city. We said it was for someone in hospital. She said, oh, we believe in miracles and healing, and I'll go and visit them. I loved the conviction and the boldness of what she said to people she didn't even know. My thought is, if you want a miracle, then you have to start with believing you can and should have one. It's like opening the door for it. The second way healing shows up is incrementally, little by little, almost imperceptibly. This type of healing needn't be one that you're unaware of, though. There's real value in daily taking back lost ground, very deliberately. For example, each night as you go to sleep, you could speak to your body and require it to restore, renew, repair, and regenerate overnight. You are taking back ground by increments. In my therapy work, this is what we teach our clients. You are in charge. You tell your body what you want it to do, and you implant those instructions in your subconscious mind repeatedly. Because your mind learns by repetition. And to change something that's been established for a long time, you must repeat a new instruction. And the third kind of healing is retrospectively, where you think nothing has changed and you go about your life only to one day realize that the thing that bothered you is no longer a bother. It's gone. Fixed, disappeared, stopped hurting. It's healed. That's happened to me. You hold to your thought of being restored and well, and though you seem not to be seeing change, suddenly you look and you realize that pain is no longer there. That's very encouraging. It's doing a Winston Churchill. Never, ever, ever give up. At this point, you must not succumb to the suggestion that it was going to happen anyway, and that getting better was independent of your part in it. When we do that, we dilute what we have achieved, and it weakens the wonderful thing you've learned to do, and that you have the power to do. That is to step into influencing your health. Appreciating and thanking your body for all it does for you is a great practice. Look in the mirror and say, "Hello, my wonderful, clever body. Thank you for everything you do for me." That might sound silly, but try it anyway and you'll see it really works. It also works for people. I have a friend who will often send a message out to those she cares for saying, "This is the best day of my life because you are in it." If you're used to saying, "Eat your breakfast and get moving because we can't be late," you could try saying, "Hello, darling, this is the best day of my life and most especially because you are in it." Try it and see what effect it has. We really need to hear this sort of thing from each other. Did you know, apparently we need 4 hugs a day minimum just to survive? Goodness. Occasionally I'll hug a tree and I don't see why that shouldn't count. I think animals probably count as well. But what it's saying is we need to generate that emotion, that affection, that connection, that appreciation. So that's just a little bit about healing. To be encouraged if you don't see results, but you're holding out for being well and being whole. Our second question today. I just had a conversation with someone who's very ill and undergoing treatment overseas. Let's call her Julie. She contacted me for help and support through my therapy work. She believed the treatment she was undertaking would work, but she wanted some support along the way. I absolutely got that. When we're facing something momentous and scary, we need people around us who help us to stand in the face of it. People who uplift us and shore up our belief that we will get better. We absolutely must get out of our own doubt and fear in this kind of situation. For Julie, she wanted a recording that she could listen to over and over so that even when she fell asleep, she had what she wanted feeding into her subconscious. You can do this for yourself even, on your phone and listen to it last thing at night or first thing in the morning, especially if your mind is running rampant with what ifs and oh no kind of thoughts. You begin by saying, "Every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better. My amazing body is repairing and renewing itself as it was designed to do and knows how to do perfectly. Put your hands on your body and thank it for the new work it's doing." This may sound a bit outside of your usual practice in terms of trying to get better, but frankly, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain if you try this. And don't despair if nothing seems to be happening. Fix on the end result, not on how it appears right now. Know that healing can be immediate, incremental, or retrospective. An important thing to say at this point is that we need to look at why. If we don't know why something has shown up in our lives, how can we fix it and stop it popping up again? To me, that's completely counterintuitive. We often don't ask ourselves why because we simply think we can't possibly know. But what if we could know? And what if once we do know, we could speed up the fixing of the problem? I was listening on YouTube to Florence Scovel Shinn, who I mentioned earlier, because she lived in the 1800s, so the language and references are very dated, but the principles are timeless. And the woman who reads the book, so that you can be in the kitchen cooking and listening at the same time, has the most beautiful, magical voice, which is just a pleasure to listen to. Her name is Lila. She doesn't seem to have a second name. It's just Lila. Anyway, Florence was talking about forgiveness, and it really struck me that we have to look into ourselves and see if there's something in us that's stuck and therefore not helping us. She says, acid thoughts cause an acid response in the body. A hard heart causes hardening in the body. That makes you think of arteries. Think about festering. Ooh. Just as there is an outcome for the good things we think, which is my kind of platform, I guess, that outcome is health and harmony, there is also an outcome for the poisonous ones too. One of Florence's clients came to her for help and said something to her, which was, "What's wrong with me?" Florence, who has seriously tuned intuition, said, "That's not the question. The question is, who is wrong with you?" The woman replied that there were people she had grudges against, quite a number of them. Even if someone has done us wrong and we feel we have a legitimate grievance, we cannot hold that, or we hold the outcome of holding on to it in our bodies. So it's not hurting the other person, it's actually hurting us. That knowledge alone makes it worth letting it go. When that's hard, and I know sometimes it can almost feel impossible, I recommend an Hawaiian technique called Ho'oponopono, which I've mentioned before. In this technique, you identify with the person and the issue and realize that you are a part of the mix, meaning you're in the mix for it to have turned up in your life. Don't think too much about that because it can prevent you from even trying this. In your identifying with it, you then kind of take a responsibility for it, and you are able to set it free by that acknowledgement. So you say to yourself these four things. This is the method Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. I know that seems a bit galling when you might be sure that they are the ones at fault. But in saying these four things, you can release that problem. It acts like oil on water, and it calms you as well. Try it and see what you think. You just keep repeating it. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. If you look up Ho'oponopono, it's a ridiculous word, it's got five O's in it, you'll see what this is all about. When this episode of Ask Margot is finished, you might like to think of someone who might benefit from forgiving. And you could try this technique for setting yourself free from any possible effects. Try that and let me know. Our third question today. I received a question regarding how to deal with getting stuck in a place of feeling down and flat. These days we might say depressed, but I always like to underplay it a bit. Not the legitimacy of the feeling, but how we label things so they don't get too much glory and they don't seem insurmountable. Because it's not insurmountable. You were not born depressed or anxious. Something happened that made your subconscious adopt that. No baby arrives like that thinking, "What the hell? Not a lifetime of this." They think, "Wow, cool, what's next?" So you can remind yourself, I was not born depressed or anxious as a baby, so just as these feelings took up residence in me, they can be dismissed from my life. You may think that sounds too easy, but really, why do we think things have to be hard and take ages and be a huge amount of work? I think we should speak to the unwanted things in our lives. You don't belong here. I'd like you to go now. Thank you, and I don't want to have to repeat myself. It might be good to repeat yourself, actually, but just be definite. No, thank you. I don't want or need you. We may be discovering a new technique here. An example of this is David, who's going through in a period of feeling unhappy and a bit hopeless and finding it hard to shake off that feeling. Sometimes we feel we can't jettison ourselves out of this state, no matter how we try. We try to find a happy thought or to remind ourselves that life is actually quite good. I thought that I would try and give you some recommendations today, and this is for you, David. Usually the reason we feel like this is because of an underlying fear or fear of lack. Those are our two enemies, fear and lack. So, number one, try and find that happy thought. Begin to talk to yourself and list off all the good things in your life, from people to the weather. Just keep going. I use the alphabet sometimes, as that engages your brain to make a real effort. Thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for the beauty of nature that's so available to me. Thank you for the companionship of my friends. That's A, B, C. Keep going. It gets more engaging when you get to X, Y, Z. Number two, ask yourself, what would I love? Everybody can answer that easily. No matter what state you're in, you could say, I'd love to feel buoyant and chirpy. I'd love to feel optimistic and upbeat. Keep going. I'd love to be on a beach sipping a margarita with my favorite music playing. I'd love... dot, dot, dot. That will lift your state, because then you'll be thinking about what you want and not what you don't want. Number three, ask yourself why you feel the way you do. That may seem obvious. Something has or hasn't happened. Something might or might not happen. Ask yourself if the fear is real or perceived. If it's perceived, dismiss it. Then ask yourself, in 5 years' time, will this thing matter? If the answer is no, then dismiss that. If it's something tangible that you must deal with, sit down and imagine you are giving advice to your own child about how to deal with it. Often, we're better at giving advice to others than we are at giving it to ourselves. Imagine you're helping this child work through the issue. Be practical and write down what the logical steps to deal with it might be. That gets your brain thinking proactively, and that's good for you. Number four, this may still not do the trick. When I'm still in a flat spot and finding it difficult to shift my state, I find people who remind me how I really want to think and live, and I read their books or listen to them. For example, Florence Scovel Shinn I mentioned, she does that for me, and so does Neville Goddard, though he's also no longer on the planet. These and other people out there are not just wise, but wildly positive, and I know that it works to let them feed good thoughts into you when you feel down. It works in redirecting you. So let's recap. One, David, remind yourself of the good things and be thankful for them. Two, shift your focus by asking yourself what you love. Three, dig a bit deeper to find out why and then make a practical plan to change those things. And four, feed in some truth about how life is designed to work for and not against us. I hope that produces some success for you. Do let us know how you go. Now, our last question today, well, actually, it's a bit more of a complaint, is from Anna, who wants to find her special mate. She says she's pretty much given up. Often people say that, but it's not really what they want. They do want to find their perfect person, but they haven't had success and they don't know how to change it. There's also a bit of fear around getting it wrong. Actually, there's quite often a lot of fear around that. It takes a leap of faith to say yes to a new person if you feel roughed up by a previous encounter. Firstly, write down all the qualities you want in a mate. Look at yourself. Now, Anna, ask yourself, do you have those qualities? Are you kind, considerate, generous, caring, reliable, respectful, interesting to talk to? Are your values on track? Are you honest, big-hearted, loving? Do you have a sense of humour? Are you romantic? If you cannot say you are what you are looking for, then that's where you have to start. You can't really have what you don't resonate with. I've done a bit of research and reading on this subject recently, and it seems that there is no getting away from appearance. The first thing we notice, how someone looks. Ask yourself, are you making an effort to look your best because you want someone who makes such an effort for you? Grooming is next to godliness. Actually, I may have made that one up, but you know what I mean. Do you smell nice? Do you taste nice? Teeth, breath. Dress nicely. Speak nicely. Meaning, are you critical, whiny, negative? Those things are not attractive to anyone unless they're also a match for them, and you don't want that. Do you talk too much? Too dominantly? Do you think you know everything? I can tell you now that you do not. Are you inclusive in conversation? Or do you just rabbit on incessantly? Do you interrupt? We all do these things sometimes, but we all need to be aware and, well, try and stop that. Let the person finish what they're saying. If they look like they're never going to finish, put your hand up. When they look surprised and say yes, you can smile and say, permission to speak. If you keep it light, you can say whatever you need to say, because people won't get offended by it. I get quite cross when someone holds court while everyone else is expected to sit at their feet and just be grateful. Never do that. I guess the short version of what I've said is to be what you want. But then you can't really sit at home and wait for the doorbell to ring, although it has happened to someone I know. Peggy had acknowledged a man while they were out walking their dogs. He had to go on a trip unexpectedly and needed his dog looked after, so he rang her doorbell. Now they are terribly busy living happily ever after. As someone once said, a man will not jump out of the TV. I think that's a shame, actually, because you could pick one you liked, having watched them in action for a bit. So you've got to get out there. And as for fears of the past coming to scare you by into staying at home and pulling back, staying with the safety of your TV, you just have to tell yourself that life is for learning and growing. There will have been some good in your past experiences. Think only of that, if you think of them at all. Be open. Have faith in yourself that you have the wisdom now to recognize what's best for you and the strength to stay in a place where you are in charge of you and your world. You can always say, oh, thank you, but this is not for me. Or you can be thorough and make sure your non-negotiables are covered, all of them. And you must decide on them now before you get distracted by someone's focused attention so that you forget that you had any non-negotiables at all. So, look good, smell good, taste good, speak well, listen well, be the best version of you, and you'll present as a confident, desirable person. Anna, the boys will be lining up. Well, that's it for today in terms of questions. If you have a question you're stuck with that's keeping you feeling sick or small or sad, write to us at admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me under the contact tab at margounlimited.com, Margot with a T. Now we're at the part of our episode today where we see what the universe has to say to us. This I call the word, and it's a message from the universe, God, or what's sometimes called the superconscious. These messages are always encouraging and affirming, sometimes directional, and also sometimes there's a kind of wry humour in them. I always get a sense of enormous caring whenever I receive them. If today you think no one cares about you, I can assure you the universe does. Life itself has created you to be here and to be the amazing individual you are. And you are one of a kind. There is no one else like you, and there never will be. That makes you and each one of us exceptionally special. This is a message I received just recently, and it seems a perfect fit for the questions we've had today. Here we go. Can you feel a change in what is showing up for you? Can you feel that your point of attraction has moved? I never say something that will happen that does not happen. What a happy thought that is for you. When you change you, what comes to you will change. You have such power, all of you, if only you would fully step into it. Magical, transformational power that changes worlds. I love that. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Margot de Coatsworth, and I wish you a wonderful day. It's been a privilege to be here with you today. See you next time.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.